Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and as some of you probably know, the Immaculate Conception is the patronal feast of the United States of America. And so if you haven't already, I do encourage you to say a little prayer to Our Lady on behalf of our country this evening. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity, and of old before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of waters as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When, with a certain law and compass, he enclosed the depths. When he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters. When he compassed the sea with its bounds and set a law to the waters, that they should not pass their limits. When he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him, forming all things and was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Thus far are the words of the Holy Gospel. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. These words are taken from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, one of the beautiful practices among certain Catholic families is to display a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the front of their home. From time to time, you will see this statue in the front window of the house. But more often than not, you will find it outside in a garden bed. One of the more popular statues of Our Lady, displayed by Catholic people, is the statue of Our Lady of Grace. The image of Our Lady of Grace is a familiar one. It is the image on the miraculous medal. It depicts the Blessed Virgin with her hands outstretched and her palms open. She stands upon a globe. And under her feet is a serpent. Now, there's an amusing story involving such a statue that I'd like to share with you this evening. One afternoon, two little girls were playing out in the yard. One of the girls was about 5 or 6 years old, and the other girl was her younger sister, probably about 3 or 4. In the corner of the yard was a little flower garden. And in the garden was set up a shrine to Our Lady with a statue of Our Lady of Grace. While the children were playing their game, the older of the two noticed that something was moving in the grass. As she got a little closer to see what it was, she saw that it was a snake. And her reaction was the reaction of most little girls, and even perhaps of some grown men. It was one of terror. She screamed, And then she ran to her little sister, and she grabbed her by the wrist. The girl then proceeded to run to the door of the house, basically dragging her little sister behind her. But on reaching the door, she found that it was locked. She pounded on the door. She called for her mother, but there was no answer. Thinking that the snake was coming after her, fear and worry took over. She didn't know what to do. But then it struck her. She decided that she would make a run for the garden. So again, taking her little sister's hand, she dashed off towards the corner of the yard. And on reaching the garden, both girls hid behind the statue of Our Lady of Grace. A few minutes later, when the girl's mother went outside to check on them, she found both of them crouched low in the garden. And so naturally, she asked them what they were doing. The older of the two spoke up. She explained that there was a snake in the yard and that the snake was going to bite if they didn't run from it. "We tried going into the house," the girl said, "but we couldn't get in. So we ran to hide in the garden by the Blessed Mother." "The snake won't come in here," the girl said, "because he's scared of the Blessed Mother." And then pointing to the serpent beneath Our Lady's feet, the girl added, "She stomps on snakes." 168 years ago, on December 8th, in the year 1854, Pope Pius IX promulgated the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. In his papal bull, Ineffabilis Deus, Pius IX infallibly declared that the Most Holy Virgin Mary was, in the first moment of her conception, by a unique gift of grace and privilege of God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, preserved free from all stain of original sin. And thus, from the very moment of her conception, Our Lady was immaculate. St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us that Mary was preserved from original sin, not only because she was chosen to be the Mother of God, but also because she was destined to crush the head of the infernal serpent, the serpent who induced Adam and Eve to sin, and which sin brought death upon the world. Almighty God had foretold in the book of Genesis that Our Lady would crush the head of Satan. "I will put enmities," God said to the serpent. That is, "I will put hostility or warfare between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed." That is, between the children of Satan and the children of Mary. "She, the Blessed Virgin, shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." It's interesting to note that Latin words more often than not convey a more precise meaning than their English translations. And the Latin word that the church uses to describe Our Lady crushing the head of Satan is a prime example of this. The Latin word for to crush is contero, which literally means to grind into crumbs or to crush into small pieces. And this is precisely what Our Lady did to the infernal serpent by bringing forth our divine Redeemer, who by his passion and death redeemed us. And this is precisely what she is preparing to do with her heel at the end of the world: grind into crumbs and crush into pieces the proud head of the devil. In light of this, St. Alphonsus says that it was not possible that the serpent should first conquer Mary and make her his slave by sin. Instead, she was preserved from the slightest stain of sin, while the devil was made subject to her. And to this very day, he lies in wait for her heel. The devil, my dear friends, knows his time is short. He knows that that heel is falling fast. And St. Louis de Montfort tells us that because he knows that his time is limited, the devil will intensify his efforts and his onslaughts each day. He will stir up persecutions, the saint says, and he will set treacherous snares for the faithful servants of Mary. But then St. Louis says this. He says that despite Satan's greatest efforts, the humble Mary will always triumph over him. She will always unmask his serpent's cunning and expose his wicked plots. She will scatter to the winds his devilish plans. And to the end of time, St. Louis de Montfort says, she will keep her faithful servants from his cruel claws. St. Louis de Montfort even says, and this is somewhat astounding, he even says that the devoted children of Mary will take part in crushing Satan's head. This is what he says. Her children, whom she will rouse to fight against Satan, will be so strongly supported by divine assistance that in union with her, they will crush the head of Satan with their heel and bring victory to Jesus Christ. We, my dear friends, are the children of Mary, and we are meant to share in the stomping of Satan's head. But we can only do this if we are truly devoted to our mother and our queen. We can only do this if we have true devotion to Mary. Each one of us here is devoted to Our Lady to one degree or another. But how do we know if our devotion is true? St. Louis de Montfort gives us a few tips to help us find out. First, he says we should ask ourselves, does my devotion to Mary come from within, from my mind or heart? You see, true devotion does not consist in many exterior practices. Just because someone, for example, carries a rosary everywhere with them on their person, or hangs it in his rearview mirror in the car, or even wears the brown scapular, just because someone does this, doesn't necessarily mean they have true devotion to Mary. True devotion comes from the heart. And so we should ask ourselves, do we simply carry the rosary with us? Or do we strive to pray it each day and well out of love for Our Lady? Do we merely wear the brown scapular and treat it as a sort of good luck charm? Or do we wear it to help raise our minds and hearts to Our Lady and kiss it with reverence from time to time? If up until now our devotion to the Blessed Virgin has been a mere going through the motions, let us begin today to make it interior, to make it come from the heart. St. Louis de Montfort also says that those who are truly devoted to Our Lady have the greatest confidence in her. They trust her like those little girls trusted her when they ran to her for protection from the snake. They had the greatest confidence that if that snake would make its way into the garden, Our Lady would crush it. When we are faced with the infernal serpent, when we come face to face, so to speak, with the devil in temptation, do we run to Our Lady? with confidence in her help? Do we pray short aspirations, such as, Mother Mary, help me? Something as simple as that. When we're going through a difficult time or dealing with some sorrow or discouragement, do we try to go it alone? Or do we go to our Blessed Mother, entrust the difficulty to her care, and ask her to help us through it? Our devotion to Mary is true if it's trustful. Let us then spare no effort in acquiring this trust by going to her often. And finally, St. Louis de Montfort tells us to ask ourselves if our devotion to Mary is constant and disinterested. To put it simply, do we treat Our Lady the same way as a child treats his toys? And what I mean by this is, do we take her out when we need her and then put her away when we're done with her? Do we think about her when things are going badly because we need her help, and then forget about her when things are going well? Our devotion to the Blessed Virgin shouldn't come and go as the feelings of sorrow and discouragement and fear come and go. Nor should it come and go as temptations come and go. Our devotion to Mary should be constant. It should be enduring. It should be present in good times, and it should be there in bad times. You know, and this is sad, some people are only devoted to Our Lady when they need something. They love her only because she has obtained something for them. But true children of Mary, they are devoted to her not only if they need something, but always, because she is their mother and they love her. Let us then form a habit of often speaking familiarly with our Blessed Mother, asking her for help when we need it, yes, but also just pausing throughout the day from time to time to let her know that we love her and that we are grateful for all she has done for us. The day is coming, my dear friends, when Our Lady will crush Satan's proud head with her heel. And if we are truly devoted sons and daughters of her Immaculate Heart, if our devotion comes from the heart, if it is trustful, constant, and disinterested, we will share in this triumph. We will share in this triumph, and we too will, as St. Louis de Montfort says, crush Satan's proud head in union with Mary and bring victory to Jesus Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.